So most of you, many of you, may know that I lead a team and of people. I've got a group of people who I help to guide, build as they build software. So I'm a manager, and I have learned that if you want to motivate people, one of the most excellent tools that you can use is fear. Now, I don't actually use that as a direct tool all that often, but fear in our lives really works as a motivational tool. You can verify this yourself if you are honest with yourself and you reflect on some of the actions that you may have taken in your life, some of the things that you've done, choices that you've made. You will almost certainly find that fear is among one of the most elementary causes of making your decisions. I'll give you a couple examples. One being, why might we go to work at a job which we may not find personally fulfilling? Well, perhaps it's the fear of the loss of income that might come with losing that job, compromising our lifestyle. Perhaps it's the fear of failure that keeps us going to work. Perhaps it's the fear of just letting others down, being accountable. Maybe it's something else. That might be one of the reasons that we might stay doing something that we might not normally do otherwise. Why am I, I'm giving you a personal example, why am I careful not to be late picking up my kids from school on the rare occasion that I actually have the responsibility to do so? Well, I can tell you personally that I am afraid of causing fear in my own children, who really genuinely get scared any time that they have to stand waiting for more than 2 minutes before they see their parents. And I'm also afraid of the schools perhaps thinking that I'm a bad parent. These kinds of things motivate me to pick up my kids on time. Why do I wear a bicycle helmet when I ride my bike to work, especially in these kind of crazy weather that we have here in Colorado? I do that because I'm afraid of dying, honestly, and I'm afraid of being run down by the crazy drivers on the road. Why do we go the speed limit when we drive past a police officer? The fear of being pulled over and having to pay a ticket. That is what motivates us to slow down. Now, we could go on thinking of plenty of examples endlessly for how fear motivates our actions. And the point is the same for each one of these examples, and that is simply that fear motivates action. And through these examples that I've given you, we can see that fear is not always a bad source of motivation. It is a good thing to earn a living. It's a good thing to pick up children on time. It's a good thing to wear a bicycle helmet. That's even a good thing to drive the speed limit. And of course, the fear of God is one of the most strong motivators that we are provided in the Bible. Fear of God is something that motivates us to do what's right. The fear of God is what motivates righteous behavior and prevents us from living a sinful life. It's a very good thing to avoid the eternal death. The fear of God is what motivates us to action to do that. Of course, all too often, we might find that fear motivates behavior when it shouldn't. That's the kind of fear that we need to be wary of. When we are compelled to action, is this unfounded fear at the root of the cause of our action? That's a question we need to ask. And if that is the case, what can we do about it? This in these instances where unnecessary fear exists, we need to find a way to remove it from our lives so that we're not motivated for the wrong reasons. When we are motivated to do the wrong things by fear, it leads us down the wrong path, and all too often that leads to sin. As it turns out, the distinction between fear that causes good action and fear that causes the wrong action is that when fear stands at odds with faith, it motivates us to do the wrong things. So the title of my sermonette today is Fear and Faith. I'd like to start with an example of fear motivating the wrong action. This is in Exodus. It's on in chapter 32, and it's in verses 1 through 10. Turn with me there to Exodus 32, beginning in verse 1. It's a bit of an excerpt, but I think it is important to go through this whole story. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." They were afraid. In verse 2, we begin to read how they reacted. And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their land, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may not burn against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." It is a lengthy story, but this serves as an example of how the Israelites were afraid. They had fear. They felt compelled to do something about it, to make themselves somehow feel comforted. And the reason that they were afraid had to do with the fact that Moses was just not returning, and in fact he had been up on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. They didn't think he was going to return. They were afraid for their lives, and they did not know what to do. They had lost their faith. Now, I'd like to ask you to turn back to Exodus 24, and I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. And this is going back in time just a bit from this particular event, but I bring this up to give this story and give this fear some context. Exodus 24 and verse 9. "Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, the 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it was, like the very heavens in its clarity." Who was with Moses at that point in time when they went up to the mountain? 70 of the elders. And what did they do there? They saw a vision of God. These people had an opportunity to witness something absolutely divine, miraculous. They were given evidence of God's support for Israel. They had every reason to believe. They had every reason to keep the faith. But what did they do instead? After 40 short days, knowing that Moses was with God, they gave up. They let fear overtake their faith. And they turned to sin. That's the kind of thing that we need to avoid. Letting our fear take over our faith. Let's go to Numbers 14, and I'll read verses 3 through 9. This is another example of fear overcoming faith. Numbers 14, beginning in verse 3. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Here is an expression of fear. Continuing in verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephthunah, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. This was an expression of faith. The Israelites, in context here, had just returned from a scouting expedition into this promised land to search out how it might be. And if you recall the rest of the story, they gave a bad report, even though they knew it was good. They even brought back the bountiful fruit of the land, and still they gave a bad report. And they did so because they saw the people who were there. It's not like it was an empty land just waiting for people to walk in. No, it was inhabited by these gigantic men. A fearsome tribe. They were afraid. They did not trust God. Even though God had promised to drive them out, they refused to believe that it would happen. And what did they want to do instead? They wanted to find somebody who would take them back to Egypt, back to slavery, back to that wrong way of life, away from God's protection. So with their lack of faith, they allowed fear to overtake them. And the result, you may recall, that all of this generation of Israel who was afraid to have faith in God and go into the land of Canaan, all of that generation except for two men were allowed, that whole generation was not able to enter that promised land. They turned away from God, and that was the result. When fear gets in the way of faith, it leads to sin. And in this case, rebellion and rejection of God. And they paid the penalty for it. Now, what is the right way to respond to fear? Turn with me to Psalm 56, and I'll read verses 3 through 4. Psalm 56 and verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? The counteraction against fear is faith. Trust in God. Man can do nothing to us by comparison. Nothing that has any lasting, meaningful consequence will happen to us if we keep our faith in God. But if we allow fear to take over so that we lose our faith, there are serious consequences. That is rejecting God, turning away from Him. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and read verse 7. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah was warned about what impending doom would come upon the earth. He knew that life would be wiped out. That is a scary thing. This is much like the warnings that you and I hear related to prophecy today. We know that there is going to be a horrible war coming, and that is a fearsome thing to us in our lives. It should cause us to fear and take action, but even more, we need to turn that fear of the world and what it can do into the fear of God, and thereby faith. Noah had faith that destruction would come, and he had godly fear, which motivated him to action, and thereby he became the father of all mankind. He overcame his fear with faith, replacing it with the fear of God. I'll read one more scripture for you. This is Isaiah 41 and 10, verse 10. It states this: Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. When we fear God in reverence and respect, obedience and glory and honor, He draws close to us. He offers us a reason not to be afraid of what man can do to us. We have God's protection. He will strengthen us. He will fight our battles. But we have to believe that He will do it. That's on His watch, of course, too, according to His will. But it is our obligation to believe it. Now, I can stand here today and tell you that you have nothing in this world to fear. And it might make sense. You might say, I don't have to worry anymore. And that's true. However, that does not mean that fear just vanishes from your life. As we heard from David, he said, "When I am afraid, then I trust you." We all continue to have fear that affects us in this world. But we need to be able to take a moment, step back, and choose how we are going to react to our fear. We cannot fall into the trap of denying that we feel fear, but we can keep fear in its place. That is, knowing that fear will provoke a response in us, we need to make sure that it does not motivate us to take the wrong type of action and turn away from God. Does our fear act as a motivator to make us compromise our convictions? Or does our fear motivate us to draw even closer to God in faith and in fear of Him? When we acknowledge the fear that we might feel, our reaction must follow a path of righteousness. That is, any human fear that we have must be swallowed up by the faith and the fear of God. Falling away from God by allowing something far less important get in the way, that should be our greatest fear. We do not want to fall away from God and suffer the consequences. Fortunately, any unfounded fear that we have in this world becomes swallowed up when we have the courage to believe in all faith that God will strengthen us and lift us up.